Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Today we're going to get into a classic story that most people know from the Bible, the story of Samson. Awesome story to go over, especially when I was a kid. I loved the story of Samson just because, you know, it's like action-packed and all that type of stuff. But yep. Remember, before we get into that, remember, if you want to sign up to give your testimony on the podcast, shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. And you don't even have to sign up to give your testimony. Let's say you want to you want to debate something. Was that a fluke or was that on purpose?
I don't know, man. I just want to throw it in there real quick.
There we go. Yeah, we're paying so much for these sound effects, we might as well start using them.
I'm sorry, dude.
No, you're good. How you doing, nobody?
All right. I was like, man, that'll be funny if I just drop a random sound effect. And according to myself, it was funny.
But yeah, the downside is that we're like doing it remotely and there's like, what would be perfect timing has like a 2 second delay.
Yeah. I even tried to time it perfect for the end of the email and I still was off. So,
but yeah, if you want to debate us, or not me necessarily, but if you want to debate nobody, I'll act as moderator. Or if you want to give a testimony, shoot us an email. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great to get some more testimonies rolling through here. And as far as debate goes, I don't even want to call it a debate. You know, like having just a
fist fight.
Bro, I hate getting punched in the face. That's the worst.
Hate it at the moment. It's afterwards that it sucks.
Yeah, when you like...
In the moment, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I tend to sleep on my side. So, like, if I'm on the side of my face, you just can't get comfortable, you know?
Yeah. Or if, like, there's any pressure at all on your jaw, and if it's, like, moving it in any direction, that's when it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, all the mat burns or the glove burns when you take a shower.
Yeah. Bro, that waking sucks. Up, and then you have those little burns, and the sheets stick to your skin, and it pulls that layer off in the morning.
Oh, yeah. It's like that fresh scab just gets ripped off.
Yeah. Yep. All that work your skin cells were doing all night, you know?
But you know what? We don't see Samson complaining about any of it.
No, Samson is what I would call a pretty resilient dude. You know, get that.
That's a word for it.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many of those bad guys he took out with the junky teeth, you know?
With them junky teeth.
You remember that? That was a few episodes ago. Oh, man.
Yeah. Man. But yeah, we actually intend on making a knife in the future that's in reference to the jawbone, or I don't know if we're going to call it the donkey jaw or the jawbone or Samson's jaw or what, but it's going to have some sort of reference. We got to do some brainstorming on the name, and it's going to be like a bad, just overbuilt, like destruction knife.
Yeah. And I mean, I picture just a ridiculous piece of metal. And I say, we call it the junkie. Cause that's funny.
The junkie. Yeah.
The junkie.
The junkie.
Instead of saw teeth on the spine, it's just these jacked up donkey teeth. Like all day.
We close our eyes, we grab the file, and then we just go to work on that spine. Yeah. Oh man. Before we get into Judges, you got any updates you'd like to share with everybody? Anything going on?
I don't have
anything in particular in mind when I said that. Just like any, I guess, news we should bring up.
Well, I mean, just in general, taking a look at the world, right? So this is just like a heads up to everybody. If you ain't been watching anything, it's about to pop off in so many different areas, you know? Kinetic war, I think, is definitely right around the corner. It should have already been here based on everybody's red lines that you know, everybody puts down red lines and then everybody's a habitual line stepper. So it's confusing, yeah. But it's coming soon. The economy, well, good luck, everybody. And not to mention everything else, weather that doesn't meet any pattern. And yeah, right. All I'm trying to get at. Oh, go ahead, bro.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, no. I just saw an interview today talking about, it was like the LA Port Authority or something like that, just giving a heads up saying like, hey, if there's anything like any kind of appliances or anything like that you need to buy, you might want to go ahead and do that before the prices just skyrocket on them. Cause there's been like a drastic change and just like the volume of ships coming in and stuff like that. So just a heads up, like, I don't know. I know we got to replace a washer. We might need to do that like now.
Yeah. But, yeah. Are you and your wife be going down to the
I
river?
I tend to buy those. Yeah. Well, not this river, dude. We'd be better off collecting spit and washing it in there.
She would beat you up, dude.
Oh, man. But yeah, we tend to buy those things on the used market anyway. So I doubt that'll. Sure. Unless there's just unscrupulous, you know, tactics and stuff like that used at some of these used appliance places. But we should be pretty good as far as that goes.
Probably.
And also, the used appliances just last longer, dude. They're just, like, better.
Yeah, you get an older model and it has a longer shelf, like a longer working life. I mean, the stuff that comes out today is just built to break. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially when it comes to like washers, dryers, freezers. Freezers are a big one, dude. Like my parents have like this super old stand-up freezer that's never had any issues versus like some of the brand new ones that have had to have been fixed like multiple times.
Yeah.
Which, heads up, if anybody does have a freezer, like either a chest or stand-up freezer, there is this one little device that you can put on the inside of it that tells you if there's any temperature drops and stuff like that, or if there's, or maybe you plug into it and it tells you if the power goes, no, I think it goes on the inside and it monitors like temperature fluctuations.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That way you can find out early if it's gone out versus finding out because you go in there to grab some meat and it's all thawed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a good day, dude. I would be so sad.
Yeah, dude. I remember like the only time I think I've come close to seeing my dad cry was whenever he got back from an Alaska fishing trip with his brothers. And like a couple months later, he caught all this salmon, all this halibut, stuff like that, like a couple hundred pounds of fish. And then the freezer went out we found out because there was a puddle. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. That's, it all went bad.
That's a tough one right there.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about a stinky mess to clean up. But
bro, it was so sad.
Well, hey, so sad. On that note, check it out. With everything coming at us, right? The famine and all that. Look, in this story here, Yashrel is being oppressed. And we're going to see how Yah raises his anointed up to do his bidding. And keep in mind too, like with Samson, he had his issues, just like all of us. There's not one of us who don't struggle with things and have certain aspects we have to overcome. Like, look at Gideon. Gideon was raised up to do all of those amazing things, and then he stumbled at the very end, you know?
What did his name change to? What did they end up calling him? Baal something, right?
Zerubbaal.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I think it was Zerubbaal. Yeah. Pretty sure. Let me double check.
Not a positive name. Yeah. But just for y'all, so you guys can go ahead and flip to the scripture. We're going to be in Judges 13. And remember, or we're going to be starting in Judges 13. But remember, y'all, we use the eSword app. It's a fantastic app. You can compare like three different, you know, translations all at the same time. We'll probably be reading out of the Septuagint, but like, for example, today we'll have the Septuagint up, the scriptures up, and then the Apostolic Polyglot. which the Apostolic Polyglot isn't one that you necessarily read out of, but you use it for like reference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to read, but it's a super valuable tool. Yeah. Gideon's name did get, changed to Zerubbaal, but that was, I believe it means let Baal plead, like plead for himself. So I don't think it was necessarily a bad name. It's just at the end, he sets up an ephod to himself and, you know, like kind of an idol, and it's not, yeah, bueno. He lets it
go to his head.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well,
but in the same,
get into it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in the same way that we can learn from that, like when Yah carries us through tough times, storms, trials, whatever it is, we have to give all glory to Yah, all of it, you know?
Right.
And if we do that and we remain in a, I don't know, I guess a humbled position before him, he will elevate his servants as he sees fit, you know?
And just to tell you a little bit about Nobody's character, he is the most impossible person to give a compliment to. I remember when we first met up in North Carolina, I kept trying to like compliment him on just legitimate things, not just trying to, you know, not butt kissing or anything like that, but compliment him on legitimate things. Every single time he kept saying, well, praise Yah. Like, he didn't take credit for not one doggone thing I tried to compliment him for.
Well, you do the same thing. And good,
because that's what
we that's what we should be doing. You know, hey, praise Yah that we are of one accord, you know.
Yep. So I then had to start thanking him for his obedience to Yah, and he'll accept that.
Yeah, and be like, well, praise Yah for bringing me into that obedience, you know, because my flesh didn't do it. I guarantee you that.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and bring this scripture up. Bam. You can see that?
Yes, sir.
Cool. So, you want to read out the Septuagint, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's pretty good practice. It has been for us, but we can just point out any differences. I have mine up too. It's easier to read on my big screen, but if we do take turns reading, if you want to just scroll with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll follow along. So that way anybody watching can see what we're seeing too. And the highlighted that I have on the screen is the Septuagint. I know it says Brenton. It's just the first part of the title of the book.
Yeah, the translator.
Yeah.
The translation.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? Everybody ready?
Following you.
This is going to be.
Let's do it.
This is going to be awesome. All right.
Yeah.
It says, the children of Yashareel yet again committed iniquity before Yahweh, and Yahweh delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there is a man of Sarah, so this is where the Septuagint and Masoretic totally differs. It says Sarah, but in the Masoretic it says Zora. Anyways, of the
same
family,
as the Apostolic Polyglot, they both
say
Zora.
Okay. It says, of the family of the kindred of Dan, and his name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bore not. So, tribe of Dan, and in Zora. It says, and an angel of Yahweh appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne, yet you shall conceive a son. And now be very cautious and drink no wine nor strong drink and eat no unclean thing. For behold, you are with child and shall bring forth a son, and there shall come no razor upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to Elohim from the womb, and he shall begin to save Yashareel from the hand of the Philistines. Okay, so check that out. This is like awesome, right? He's set apart from the womb. The prophet Samuel in the same way, and John the Baptist. So it's pretty amazing whenever, you know, these wonderful things happen. All of these had a direct interaction with Yah before these women, before their wombs were opened. And it was this pleading in it. And especially with like Samuel, is this pleading, like, give me a child and I will give him to you all the days of his life, you know, so give him to Yah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
for Samuel's this, mother.
Right. For this same purpose, right? Like we see the mother of Samson being told, hey, your son is going to be a Nazarite from the womb, and he's got a pretty big task ahead of him. He's going to save Yasharel,
right?
You know, from the Philistines.
Yeah.
All right. It says, and the woman went in and spoke to her husband, saying, a man of Elohim came to me, and his appearance was as an angel of Elohim, very dreadful. And I did not ask him where he was, or whence he was. Oh, gosh. I did not ask him where he was or where he came from, I guess. And he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you are with child and shall bring forth a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink and eat no unclean thing. For the child shall be set apart to Elohim from the womb until the day of his death. And Manoah prayed to Yahuwah and said, I pray you, O Yahuwah, my master, concerning the man of Elohim who you sent, let him now come to us once more and teach us what we shall do to the child about to be born. And Yahuwah heard the voice of Manoah, and the angel of Elohim came yet again to the woman. And she sat in the field, and Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman hasted and ran and brought word to her husband and said to him, behold, the man who came in the other day to me has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and followed his wife and came to the man and said to him, are you the man that spoke to the woman? And the angel said, I am. And Manoah said, now shall your word come to pass. What shall be the ordering of the child and our dealings with him? And the angel of Yahuwah said to Manoah, of all things concerning which I spoke to the woman, she shall beware. She shall eat of nothing that comes from the vine yielding wine, and let her not drink wine or strong liquor, and let her not eat anything unclean. All things that I have charged her, she shall observe. And Manoah said to the angel of Yahuwah, let us detain you here and prepare before you a kid of the goats. And the angel of Yahuwah said to Manoah, if you should detain me, I will not eat of your bread. And if you would offer a whole burnt offering to Yahuwah, you shall offer it. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of Yahuwah. And Manoah said to the angel of Yahuwah, what is your name? That when your word shall come to pass, we may glorify you. And the angel of Yahuwah said to him, why do you, oh gosh, Septuagint.
Yep,
why do you ask this after, why do you ask after my name? Whereas it is wonderful. And Manoah took a kid of the goats and its meat offering and offered it on the rock to Yahuwah. And the angel wrought a distinct work, and Manoah and his wife were looking on. And it came to pass, when the flame went up above the altar towards heaven, that the angel of Yahuwah went up in the flame. And Manoah and his wife were looking, and they fell upon their face to the earth. And the angel appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that this was an angel of Yahuwah. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen Elohim. But his wife said to him, if Yahuwah were pleased to slay us, he would not have received of our hand a whole burnt offering and a meat offering, and he would not have shown us all these things. Neither would he have caused us to hear all these things as at this time. And the woman brought forth a son, and she called his name Samson. And the child grew, and Yahuwah blessed him. And the spirit of Yahuwah began to go out with him in the camp of Dan, and between Zora and Eshtaol.
So I got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
The first one was, so I'm assuming Manoah isn't a priest, but he was still able to. So, okay. I guess that who was the one that prepared the offering?
Yeah. So that is an interesting question, actually. Let me take a look.
Is it the angel when he wrought a distinct work? Is that it? Or was it Manoah bringing the offering to the angel and the angel squared away the offering?
So here's the interesting part, right? I don't think Manoah was a priest. However, we see in like the Book of Jubilees, and I believe the Testament of Levi, that there is an angelic priesthood, you know, like when these, okay, when the feasts and everything are celebrated in the heavens, as well as how they're celebrated on the earth, they are still doing the workings of the feast. That being said, I think that in my opinion, and I could be wrong, so anybody who has a differing opinion, please put it in the comments. But in my opinion, since he told them to bring forth these things as an offering, I believe the angel is the one that did that, offered it to Yahuwah in their stead. You know what I mean? I think that was okay, like you mentioned, I think that was the great work that he did.
Okay. The distinct, what was it? What did it say that work? Exactly? Yeah. There was something that said distinct.
Oh, did it? I don't know. I was getting all
Yeah, an 8:19.
I was getting all tongue-tied with the Septuagint here, so.
Good. And it said, and 19, and Manoah took a kid of the goats and its meat offering and offered it on the rock to Yah. Okay, so Manoah did it. And the angel wrought a distinct work after Manoah took a kid of the goats and its meat offering and offered it on the rock to Yahuwah. And the angel wrought a distinct work, and Manoah and his wife were looking on.
See, but like this is where I think that there could be a point in time, like Manoah brought it forth, right?
Yeah.
And then the angel did the duties. You know what I mean? Like it's
okay.
It's tough. And I guess he could have killed it. I don't know. But as far as there being a priest or someone in a priesthood, I do think that the angel was the one filling that gap. Anyways, hey, everybody, put your opinions in the comments. You know?
Yeah.
Let's hear what you got to say about it.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I sound so nasally. My allergies are rocking, dude.
Like, it doesn't sound like your allergies are bothering you. Like on this end, it doesn't sound like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I came in the other day and there was just like yellow pollen on like covering the tops of my boots. And I was like, wow, this is no wonder I like get these sneezing fits and stuff. I need to get some local honey going.
Yeah. It's the same thing with like my eyes. Like, first of all, I have super bad allergies, especially when I was a kid. Like I remember mom worrying cause I wouldn't like be breathing through the night or coughing like crazy or whatever, but like I still have bad allergies. Okay. So fun little interesting fact, not so fun. This year is the first year I've gone carnivore for like really allergies, and it has not gotten rid of my allergies. Every year beforehand I've gone carnivore, no more allergies, anything like that, especially during like the spring season and stuff, and it's always gotten rid of allergies. But this is the first year, I wonder if something else is going on, but this is the first year where I've gone carnivore and still have had allergies.
Yeah, I would say you probably nailed it with something else going on, with all the crap they're putting in the sky. But
you mean my body doesn't react well to barium salts?
No, not so much. And then you got pollen on top of it. So it's...
yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, but that same yellow pollen has been all over here too.
Yeah, it's kicking my butt, but we'll get through it. We will get through it.
We will.
All right. So where are we? Chapter 14. All right. Do you want to read or do you want me to go another chapter? We're going to 16. Sure. So it's up to you.
Yeah, sure. I'll take over one. Yeah. And Samson went down to Timnah, and saw a woman from Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he went up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines, and now take her to me for a wife. And his father and his mother said to him, are there no daughters of thy brethren? Is there not a woman of all my people that thou goest to, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, take her for me, and she is right in my eyes. And his father and his mother knew not that it was of Yahuwah that he sought to be revenged on the Philistines. And at that time, the Philistines lorded it over Yasharel. And Samson and his father and his mother went down to Timnah, and he came to the vineyard of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared in meeting them. And the spirit of Yahuwah came powerfully upon him and crushed him as he would have crushed a kid of the goats.
Dang.
And there was nothing in his hands. Yeah. And he told not his father and his mother what he had done.
Bro.
It's insane that he was able to crush this lion like it was a kid of the goats. And then to do it with your parents not even knowing.
Bro.
Like, dude, if you see me fighting a lion, there's going to be evidence that I fought a freaking lion.
Yeah. Well, I would come out there, hey, everybody, Yahuwah made me super strong, and I beat that lion's butt. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, even physical evidence. Like, I ain't coming out unscathed.
Right, yeah. You might get a little 1-2 in, but, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to catch a paw or a claw or a tooth or something. Man. And then just, like, but what's crazy, okay, so Samson and his father and his mother went down to Timnah, and he came to the vineyard of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared in meeting him. Like, he's with his mom and dad, and he killed a lion, and his mom and dad did not notice.
Yeah, it makes me think that maybe he was so excited to go see that woman in Timnah that he was, like, a little far ahead, and maybe they walked up, and he's, like, getting up, and he's like, oh, just had to tie my sandal. Don't worry. Nothing to stop us on the way to go get this woman for me. You know?
It's not like a lion showed up or anything.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah.
And it's a young, spry lion, too. Not one of those old, decrepit ones.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, like, look at this. He crushed it like a kid of the goats. Yeah. So that'd be like a goat of a year old. That's a baby goat, man.
And he didn't even have a weapon.
No, he just, y'all gave him man hands just, and he just, like, you know, beat him up.
Yeah. Oh, man. And okay, so continuing on 7.
All right.
And they went down and spoke to the woman, and she was pleasing in the eyes of Samson. And after some time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the mouth of the lion. And he took it into his hands and went on eating, and went to his father and his mother and gave to them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he took the honey out of the mouth of the lion. I'd be a little pissed.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, what's all this stuff in here with the honey? It's definitely not decaying lion.
So I think people overlook this. Like, when you take the honey from the bees, they're not happy about it. Like, either he got lit up, or just kept the bees from getting out of line and was like, no.
Yeah, but
not gonna sting him.
I mean, this bro just beat up a lion. He was probably like, the bees are probably like, hey, man, it's cool. Go ahead and take whatever honey you need. You know, like, don't even worry about it.
The queen is like, hold up. He's the reason we're in the mouth of a lion.
Yeah. Thanks for this weird home. take all the honey.
Oh, man. Okay. And then 10. And his father went down to the woman, and Samson made there a banquet for 7 days. For so the young men are used to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they took 30 guests, and they were with him. And Samson said to them, I propound you a riddle. If ye will indeed tell it to me. Right? I said that right?
Yeah, but it's like, I didn't even realize that was a word. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. And,
dude, it's new to me too, man.
Yeah,
even so the apostolic polyglot says propound.
Yeah,
let's find a definition for this. cast before, project, or to pit or urge forward. Okay.
Yeah, nice. That makes perfect sense.
We learned a new word for the day.
Yeah, here we did. Go.
I propound you a riddle. If ye will indeed tell it to me and discover it within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. Dang. And if ye cannot tell it to me, ye shall give me 30 napkins and 30 changes of apparel. And they said to him, propound thy riddle, and we will hear it. I'm using that daily now.
Nobody's going to know what you're talking about.
And he said to them, meat came forth of the eater, and the sweetness out of the strong. And they could not tell the riddle for 3 days. And it came to pass on the fourth day that they said to the wife of Samson, deceive now thy husband, and let him tell thee the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Did ye invite us to do us violence? And Samson's, do they not know who they're messing with?
For real.
And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. For the riddle which thou hast propounded to the children of my people, thou hast not told me. And Samson said to her, if I have not told it to my father and my mother, shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him the 7 days during which their banquet lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she troubled him, and she told it to the children of her people. And the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before sunrise, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And Samson said to them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye would not have known my riddle.
Dang.
I hope I never have to say that.
Yeah, I hope you don't either, brother.
Oh, man. And the spirit of Yahuwah came upon him powerfully, and he went down to Ascalon and destroyed of the inhabitants 30 men, and took their garments and gave the changes of raiment to them that told the riddle. And Samson was very angry and went up to the house of his father. And the wife of Samson was given to one of his friends with whom he has on terms of friendship.
Dang.
He was on terms of friendship. Man.
Not no more.
Passed that hoe off real quick.
Whoa.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dude, hey, I mean.
Hey, I get it. Jehu. It's okay to say it. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. He went, right? He goes in there. First of all, the Ruach of Yahuwah came upon him powerfully, and he just, like, destroyed 30 dudes and took their clothes.
Yeah. Like, what did these 30 dudes do?
They must have been bad guys.
They're just chilling. Yeah, I wonder what Ascalon was like. Let's see if that shows up in the Apostolic Polyglot. No. It's not something I can click on.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, here in the Hebrew here. It's just a place in Palestine. So, I mean, it could have just been, like the Philistines, like their army dudes. That's at least, yeah. Well,
also, can't be that good of a friend if you just pass this woman off to him. Like, here, she's your problem now.
Yeah, he's like, what was his friend going to say? Oh, cool. I'm not going to worry about this dude that has the spirit of Yahuwah on him and just killed the other 30 dudes for their underwear. Like, yeah. I'm just going to, like, yeah, this great idea. I'll totally take his wife.
Like, has the word not gotten out about him yet?
Right. Like, in the Apostolic Polyglot says that it was his groomsman. That's even, that
yeah.
Just, yeah, trifling,
man. He needs better friends.
Yeah. If we go back here, just to keep this in mind, where is it? Verse 4, it says, and his father and his mother knew not that it was of Yahuwah that he sought to be revenged on the Philistines. So the whole reason that this woman came into Samson's life was to move Samson in the path towards destroying the Philistines.
And maybe even those, specifically those 30 men.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine being like an inhabitant of that town and just being like, you're telling me one guy came?
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to the junkie teeth yet. And I'll tell you what, like,
nope.
If I'm living around there and I'm not following Yahuwah and I see the power of, you know, of the living Elohim, Yahuwah, the one that is capable of absolutely anything, and this guy's going around doing this stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing the wrong thing over here. I'm gonna get my act together. I'm gonna serve Yahuwah because You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, like, I don't even know what I was doing before. I'm doing whatever he's doing.
It's like, I'm with. I've been messing up my whole life. Let's go.
Whole life.
Yeah.
I'm over here struggling to plow this field. Meanwhile, I could be serving Yahoo.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, boy.
You want to do 15?
Sure. Cool. Right, 15. And it came to pass after a time in the days of the wheat harvest that Samson visited his wife with a kid and said, I will go into my wife, even into the chamber. But her father did not suffer him to go in. And her father spoke, saying, I said that you did surely hate her, and I gave her to one of your friends. Is not her younger sister better than she? Let her be to you instead of her. And Samson said to them, even for once am I guiltless with regard to the Philistines, in that I do mischief among them. What? That just came out all wrong when I read that.
Yeah.
Even for once am I guiltless? Okay, let me read this out of the scriptures. And Samson said to them,
yeah,
this time I am blameless regarding the Philistines if I do evil to them. Okay. So he's saying he has just cause now.
Right.
Says, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned tail to tail and put a torch between two tails and fastened it. And he set fire to the torches and sent the foxes into the corn of the Philistines. And everything was burnt from the threshing floor to the standing corn and even to the vineyard and olives. And the Philistines said, who has done these things? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to one of his friends. And the Philistines went up and burnt her and her father's house with fire. And Samson's...
Well, hold on, real quick. Is this immediately after then? Like
after the fire? Like...
Or no, after the wedding. Because, okay, so it says, and it came to pass after a time in the days of the wheat harvest that Samson, okay, after a time, visited his wife with a kid. Like, she has a kid from his friend or something now?
I wonder if that's a kid of the goats or something, you know? Like, he's like, I brought you dinner, honey. Yeah, it says a young goat.
Oh, carrying a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But,
man, that was quick.
Yeah, I think this is probably a closer time frame. Like, if he's going to see her, you know, it's probably like he's like expecting her to be his wife. He would have found out that she was with one of his buds if it had been like a long time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so it's
yeah.
still his wife.
I mean, yeah, technically they did him dirty with that. And then, you know, then because he burned up all their crops, like they burnt her and her father's house with fire.
Yeah. Is it bad that the only thing I feel bad for are the foxes?
I mean, I feel bad for the foxes. Yeah. 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 But if you look at it, if you look at this, you know, his wife, she was compelled to like share that riddle. You know what I mean? And like, cause they were going to kill her dad. So I get,
well, she could have also told this dude who's been killing lions with his bare hands that, hey, this is what these people are doing.
True. True that. I hear you. I'm just saying, like, you know, I benefit of the doubt, who knows how she was afflicted during that conversation. And then she probably didn't realize that she was going to be given to another dude either. You know, she probably just wanted peace so she could, you know, be married to Samson and do the married thing. But, all right. So verse 7, it says, and Samson said to them, though you may have dealt thus with her, verily I will be avenged of you. And afterwards I will cease. And he smote them leg on thigh. He smote them leg on thigh with a great overthrow and went down and dwelt in a cave of the rock Etam. Yeah, it's interesting. The scriptures say he struck them hip and thigh, a great slaughter. A little more brutal. Anyways, yeah. It says the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and spread themselves abroad in Lechi. Yeah, Lechi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And the Philistines said, "We are come up to bind Samson and to do to him as he has done to us." And the 3,000 men of Judah went down to the hole of the rock Etam, and they said to Samson, "Know you not that the Philistines rule over us? And what is this that you have done to us?" And Samson said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." And they said to him, "We are come down to bind you, to deliver you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spoke to him, saying, "Nay, but we will only bind you fast and deliver you into their hands, and will by no means slay you." And they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him from the rock. And they came to Lechi, and the Philistines shouted and ran to meet him. And the spirit of Yahuwah came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were upon his arms became a tow, which is burnt with fire, became as tow, which is burnt with fire, and his bonds were consumed from off his hands. And he found the jawbone of an ass that had been cast away, and he put forth his hand and took it and smote with it 1,000 men. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, I have utterly destroyed them. For with the jawbone of an ass, I have smitten 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he ceased speaking, that he cast the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place the lifting of the jawbone. And he was very thirsty and wept before Yahuwah and said, "You have been well pleased to grant this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" And Elohim broke open a hollow place in the jaw, and there came there water, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore the name of the fountain was called the Well of the Invoker, which is in Lechi until this day. And he judged Yasharel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Wow. Okay, dude, like... Straight up, you know how long it would take to kill 1,000 dudes with a jawbone?
Bro, so long, dude. Like,
yeah,
so long. Like, if you don't believe me, go split wood. Go split 1,000 pieces of wood with an axe.
Seriously. Seriously.
How long it takes you.
And it's like, and so no wonder he was like, "I'm going to die of thirst, yeah, please, because I just killed 1,000 dudes with some junky teeth, and look how merciful Yah is, opening up a spring of water for him. That's amazing,
dude. That's maximum effort right there. That's maximum effort.
And think about it, like, this, the bone was clearly, like, the flesh was already off the bone, right? That's the way.
Maybe he just knocked it off of it.
maybe so. But even the jawbone held up through 1,000 dudes. You know, like,
yeah,
that's wild.
Man, he was snapping skulls with that thing. Maybe not. Maybe it was literally like over the course of days, and he's like hitting body shots on them. Like,
I don't know.
Assuming it's perfect kill shot every time. Okay. Let's say like half of them were perfect kill shots and the rest you had to really work for. Like,
yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Even then, it's like, dude, that's so much. That's so much.
Also, the last 700 are morons.
Yeah. Bro, the last 999 are just out of their mind. I see one guy get killed with a jawbone. I'm like, I'm converted today. Praise Yahweh.
Okay, well, hold on. Maybe the first five. Like, all right, the first one was a fluke. Second one is just reacting to what happened. The third one is like, now I got to react. Number four is like on his way. He just gets caught. Number five, like after five, you got to start rethinking some things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be beating feet out of there, dude. I'd be running so fast.
But number 1,000 has got to be like, after that, they're like, okay, he's not going to get me. Oh, crap. He's getting closer.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
He's getting closer.
They're just banking on the fact that he's going to just be so tired, he'll just let him live or what? Because, I don't even know. Oh, man.
Yeah, those first 1,000 were the ones that drank water like a dog.
Yeah.
That lapped up water like a dog.
Well, if you look, it's crazy, too, where it says, never mind. So the difference in 19 between the Septuagint and the scriptures, it says Elohim broke a hollow place in the jaw and there came their water. Mm-hmm. The scriptures just say Elohim split the hollow place that is in Lehi or Lechi. It's pretty wild if water came out of the jaw, but it does say.
Either way, water coming out of anywhere all of a sudden is pretty wild.
Right. It does say that well is still there to this day. So I don't think that donkey jaw is still still pumping out water. Sorry.
Yeah. I wonder where exactly Lechi is. It'd be cool to go to that exact place.
Oh, for sure. Sure would. I wonder.
Oh, and then the differences between 20 on the Septuagint and the Masoretic, too. The Septuagint says, and he judged Yasharel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. And then in 20, it says, and he ruled Yasharel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So does that just mean he was the king over Yasharel for 20 years?
He wasn't king, but he was placed as a judge. So an authority, had responsibility over the people. And if you look at it, there was a lot of unrighteousness happening with the judges up to that point. So, yeah, I see it as, it sounds like it's a good time. You know, it doesn't at all say that it was, that he did a bad job during this time. You know what I mean?
And dude, those people that bound him had to been pooping bricks.
Yeah. No kidding. They're like, please don't hurt us. Please.
Yeah.
Is that too tight, sir?
Every time they came with a bone. Yeah. I mean, after he killed 1,000 men with a jawbone, they had to be like, oh crap.
Oh, yeah.
We're sure going to die.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, he was ruling over them after being a judge. So they were probably like, yeah, sure, Samson, whatever you say. That was great. You did a good job, bud.
Yeah. Every time they see him with a bone, they're just clenching booty cheeks. No. We're up next. Man. 16.
Right.
You want me to read this?
16, sure.
Or you got it.
Whatever you want, man.
Okay. Well, I'll read it then. And Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. Immediately, I think of Jehu.
I know.
Your mom is a harlot and a witch.
Yeah.
Throw her out of the witch. Reported to the Gazites. Okay, real quick. We got to go into that real quick. How bad was Jezebel for the eunuchs? For the eunuchs to be told, throw her over, and then they just immediately do it. They're oh, finally.
Yeah. Hey, toss that whore witch out the window. And they're like, oh, heck yeah. finally.
About time.
Thanks, Jehu.
We've been waiting for somebody to ask.
We weren't sure how we were going to do this, but that's so simple.
Oh, man. All right, let me start over. Verse 1. And Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her. And it was reported to the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, has come here. And they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all night, saying, let us wait till the dawn appear, and we shall slay him. And Samson slept till midnight. And rose up at midnight and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city with the two posts and lifted them up with the bar and laid them on his shoulders. And he went up to the top of the mountain that is before Hebron and laid them there.
Bro, these doors.
Casually.
Like, just to put it in everybody's perspective, these are like huge, huge freaking doors with like, you know, like with like a 8x12 chunk of wood that like holds it closed. You know, it probably takes like multiple dudes like, to lift that up alone.
Bro, I ain't lifting my gate, which is made of like tubing and carrying it to the top of a mountain.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And it came to pass that after this, that he loved a woman in Alsarek or Sarek, and her name was Delilah.
Delilah.
And the princess of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Beguile him and see wherein his great strength is, and wherewith we shall prevail against him, and bind him to humble him, and we will give thee each 1,100 pieces of silver." And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein is thy great strength, and wherewith thou, oh man, and by what might be bound to humble you?" And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 moist cords that they have not been spoiled, then shall I be weak and be as one of your ordinary men." And the princess of the Philistines brought to her 7 moist cords that they had not been spoiled, and she bound him with them. And the liers in wait remained with her in the chamber. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." Oh, sorry. "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson."
Yeah.
And he broke the cords as if they were anyone should break a thread of tow when it has been touched the fire, and his strength was not known. Tow, by the way, I think I said earlier, was like flax cords that have been burned.
Hmm.
And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, thou hast cheated me and told me lies. Now then, tell me wherewith thou shalt be bound." I'm going to go ahead and switch over to the scriptures.
Yeah, just real quick. Because
Delilah seems to be speaking funny.
Yeah, she's on so. One. With the toe, the Apostolic Polyglot says a yarn of hemp.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah,
hemp is a little bit stronger, too. Okay, so this should be... Samson is hard-headed.
Bro,
he keeps hanging out with this woman after she already done like fooled him once.
Bro, if I were to wake up and I'm tied up, first thing I'm doing, I'm like, "Hey, I ain't into that. I'm out of here." You know, it's like, what do you think you're doing? You know?
But also tied up with the exact thing you just told that woman, that would make you weak, even if it was a lie. Like, "Oh, I just so happened to be tied up by..." Also, heavy sleeper.
Man. I wonder if he's still sleeping off the donkey teeth war.
It makes sense. Yeah, for 7 people to show up in your room without you knowing, and then to be tied up, and then you not wake up for any of it. Heavy sleeper. Which, dude, good point. Very good point. I would be... 20 years later, still tired from that killing 1,000 men with the donkey jawbone.
Okay, well, he carried the gate.
Man. Okay, you know? Fair enough.
Yeah, he was tuckered out.
Yeah, I believe it. Okay, 10. And Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and spoken lies to me. Now please reveal to me by what you might be bound." And he said to her, "If thou bind me tightly with new ropes that never have been used, then I shall be weak and be like any other man." And Delilah took new ropes and bound with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And those lying in wait were sitting in the inner room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. So Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and spoken lies to me and revealed to me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, then she fastened." Oh, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web." So he has dreads.
Yeah, they're probably
homeboy might have dreads.
I
imagine he's not like brushing it. Yeah, he's too busy killing people and lifting heaven things.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, also, Delilah's a dummy too.
she's
trying the same tactic over and over again.
Bro, she's not playing it off well, you know? And okay, so about the dreads, like, look, I'm not trying to give, you know, a nod to the Black Hebrew Israelite people who just hate everybody else and it's very racial. But I will say this, the people in scripture that lived over there, like, they weren't all blonde hair, blue eyes, you know? Like,
no, you know, for sure.
They had some pretty hefty tans, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the blonde hair, blue eye people didn't show up till the 1930s or so, 40s. I can't remember the exact date, 40s, I guess. But that's a side note. Then she fastened it with a pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he woke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. Surprise, surprise. And then she said to him, "How do you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not made known to me where your great strength lies." And it came to be when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his being was wearied to death. That he made known to her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to Elohim from my mother's womb. If I were shaven, then my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." Sorry, I had to burp. And Delilah saw that he had made known to her all his heart, and she sent and called for the princes of the Philistines, saying, Come up once more, for he has made known to me to all his heart." So the princes of the Philistines came up to her and brought the silver in their hand. And she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man. What? And she made him sleep on her knees? Oh, okay. And called for a man and shaved off the... Yeah, that makes sense. I thought he meant... I misread or misunderstood that for a second.
Bro, he's got
fat
dreads, man. Like, his whole head of hair.
Like, I have long hair. And for it to be seven dreads, those are some thick dreads.
Yeah. Like, I bet he looks so tough, dude. Like, this guy, he's like, probably looks so gnarled. Yeah, just like, oh my gosh. I would want to be friends with him for sure. He seems like a fun guy, but... Anyway,
maybe.
No, he doesn't turn on his friends, other people of Yah, you know.
That's a good point.
He's got
she
great
made
hair.
Him sleep on her knees and called for a man and shaved off the seven locks of his head. Thus she began to humble him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "Let me go out as before at other times and shake myself loose." But he did not know that Yahuwah had turned aside from him. So the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with the bronze shackles, and he became a grinder in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again, and after it had been shaven.
Man, they took his eyeballs, man. That's messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then put him on a grinding wheel. Like, go ahead and turn it, donkey.
Yeah. Seriously, dude. That's messed up. Crazy.
Yeah. I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that he killed 1,000 people with the jawbone. And they're like, all right, now you're going to take the place of the donkey.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, man.
I wonder.
Yeah. Seriously, right? So there's like movies out. There's a couple different Samson movies, and there's one that I don't think it's too old, at least within the last 10 years. They do add a lot for like story filler in between these events that scripture talks about. You know, in there, to make sense of putting out his eyes, they show that he put out the eye of one of the princes, and it's like, you know.
Mm.
Just everybody beware. Maybe. That ain't in scripture. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Possible. Sure. Is it confirmed?
Yeah. No.
No. And 23. And the princes of the Philistines gathered to slaughter a great slaughtering to Dagon, their mighty one, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our mighty one has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And the people saw him and praised their mighty one, for they said, "Our mighty one has given into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, who slew many of us." And it came to be, when their hearts were glad, that they said, "Call for Samson and let him entertain us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them. And they made him stand between the columns. And Samson said to the young man who was holding his hand. That's what it says. Who was holding his hand. "Let me alone, and let me feel the columns which support the house, so that I might lean on them." And the house was filled with men and women, and all the princes of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, who watched Samson entertaining. And Samson called to Yahuwah, saying, "O Master Yahuwah, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, only this time, O Elohim, and let me avenge myself on the Philistines with vengeance for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle columns which supported the house, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself mightily. And the house fell on the princes and all the people in it. And the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Dang. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zora and Eshtaol, in the burial site of his father Manoah, and he had ruled Yisrael 20 years.
Dang.
Dang.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you look too, like when they bring him up for entertainment, you know, they're mocking him, probably beating on him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're parading him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. The young man must have been like, "Oh, snap. That's what he's doing."
Yeah. Yeah. Oops. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, I didn't realize.
And it says, like, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof who watched Samson entertaining. That's not including the people that were inside.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, huh?
Like... yeah, like there were more. He probably killed more than 3,000, because there were 3,000 on the roof, not necessarily 3,000 in total, because it does end to say, like, this one thing, like, he killed more than everyone else he killed in the rest of his life. And we're not told about, like, the rest of his escapades or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, in one shot, he killed 1,000, so... who knows what other kind of battles or skirmishes. I mean, I'm sure that there was more to his life, but.
Especially over the course of like 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it's so crazy. And this is the part that's interesting to me, you know, and he bowed himself not that one, sorry. When 28, it says, and Samson called to Yahuwah, saying, "O Master Yahuwah, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, only this time, O Elohim, and let me avenge myself on the Philistines with vengeance for my two eyes." That's interesting, right? Even at that point, like, I mean, I'm not saying that he was wrong, and that, because obviously Yah gave him the strength, you know? And it accomplished Yah's purpose. But everything we're taught in scripture is like, you know, give place to wrath to Yahuwah. And granted, this could have been Yahuwah. This was Yahuwah's way of doing this, you know. But I'm just surprised at the words from Samson. And, you know, I mean, nevertheless, it all ended well, I suppose.
Yeah, that part definitely does stand out.
That's okay too. I'm still okay with it. If Yah delivers the enemies of ours into our hands, look how many times he did it for David, you know, I mean, and many others. It still fits. I just, the phrasing of that kind of, I don't know, made me reread it a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Dagon, is there some information?
Yeah, so it's a lowercase g about fish. Dagon. Lowercase g fish god.
Yeah.
Interesting. Dang,
it's mentioned a lot. Total KJV occurrences is 868. Oh, no, wait. No. I messed that up. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. I don't know. Something happened whenever I clicked it. It's like showing me who those this whatsoever. Okay. That's odd.
Well, if you click on the other one for the Hebrew instead of the Greek. Yeah, because
I don't know how to do that.
If you just click on, like, go over to the scriptures, highlight that one.
Yeah.
Or the verse or whatever. Or no, I guess click on the number, the Greek number. Oh. Boom. And then it should pull up.
Oh, it's not doing it for me. I guess I don't have all the things set up.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's just the other places, but well, I could read it real quick.
Okay.
Dagon, so the fish god, lowercase g, a Philistine deity. Dagon, it literally means a fish. It's a Philistine deity of fertility, represented with the face and hands of a man and the tail of a fish. Interesting thing, everybody. If you look at, the Pope, his hat is a fish tail. One of the many different deities that they worship there. So, fun fact for the day.
Yeah. Yep. And then also another thing that stood out was the whole, the Jesus fish, the one that they have on the bumpers and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Makes you wonder, who's actually being worshipped in that moment.
Yeah, that's a great point. I haven't actually thought of that. I knew that I've never seen that in scripture. I mean, people say, oh, that was a marking that disciples would do in the sand when they'd meet each other to know that they weren't enemies, and they would draw like half of it and the other one would draw the other half. I don't see that anywhere. The only reference I know is to be fishers of men, and that's a stretch. So,
yeah, but it seems to be more of a nod to Dagon than it does anything related to
for sure
or anything.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the Darwin fish?
I don't know.
It's like a little fish. It says Darwin in the middle, but it says it's a little fish with feet coming out, like legs coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. Oh, man. Get off the beach, fish. Get back in the water.
Oh, man.
Bro, if I see a fish. Oh, hold up. Hold up. If I see a fish coming up out of the ocean, walking on two little legs up the beach, I am kicking that thing as hard as I can back into the water.
Dude, it's getting shot and I'm showing people.
Okay.
Like, you see this? Y'all ever seen this before? This is wild.
All right. Two totally different reactions, but I think both are appropriate. That
is. Yeah. No, dude, I gotta show some people. I'm like, you see what Elkridge has been up to?
Yeah. No, you're going to go save it, and I'm gonna be like, oh, and I just go and kick it right before you can get it. And you're like, oh man.
Oh man, another one washed up from Plum Island. Actually, Plum Island is no longer an island. It's in the center of Kansas now, which seems like a horrible idea. Completely separate note.
Okay. Yeah, I think
Plum Island is where they develop a lot of diseases and stuff like that, and supposedly where they come up with cures and whatnot, but they have a lot of infectious diseases. It was an island, off the coast of New York or something like that at one point. And then I remember while I was in high school, it was getting moved to the center of Kansas, which just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Like, why are we doing that to ourselves, people? You know?
Yeah.
Why are you even messing with that?
Allergies are bad enough.
Yeah, don't even mess with it. Gosh. Yeah.
Don't even look at it. Don't even look at it.
Man, you know what it is? It's people with too much time on their hands.
No, it's people with unlimited funding. That's what it is.
It's just some wicked, wicked things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so boy. They can develop more pharmakia.
Drug sorcery. Don't do it.
Yep.
So Samson, look, Samson made some mistakes, right? Like, he made some mistakes, sure. I think there is some showboating going around a little bit. Like, you know, you look at the riddle and other things, like, okay, was that a wise thing to do? No. You know, it wasn't, and it didn't turn out for him, but it's still, Yah still used that in order to have his will come to pass, you know? Then Delilah, like, yo, if it literally, how many times are you going to allow somebody to ask, like, what is the one thing that I can kill you with? You know what I mean? Like, what can I do so I can kill you? Why are you telling her? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, you know what? I don't think, like, we're going to work out.
The first time you ask. The first time you ask, especially after the next morning where I'm like, oh, you actually tried it. Like, this wasn't just curiosity. You had seven men. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, you had seven men plotting against me. Like, okay, all right. Maybe the first time you're like, you gave her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe coincidence. And then she did it again.
Yep. Bro.
The only thing I can think of is that Delilah must have been fine.
Yeah, fine with being a real jerk, you know? Like, seriously, like, it's just not cool. She's probably a very well-practiced narcissist, you know, and turned everything that he was,
even there's evidence of that, like saying, oh, you don't love me, you won't tell me how to kill you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I got experience. Very intense experience with a narcissist. It is not fun, you know? Be careful, people. Be careful out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with, like, who you marry and everything like that, who you lay in bed with. Obviously, I remember growing up, like, my parents or my dad specifically just kept telling me, he's like who you marry is going to be the most important decision of your life, and stuff like that. And that was a fact. That is a fact. Not saying, oh, I should also clarify, like, my wife is amazing. There's, like, no nefarious, no narcissism, nothing like that. She's amazing.
She's a very, very nice lady. Yeah.
She's pretty cool. She's pretty cool. She's going to be thankful to hear this whenever she does listen to this podcast episode.
Yeah, I still want her to come onto the show. I really do.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you think she's going to keep us on topic and everything, you know what we didn't do?
What?
This episode?
What?
We didn't talk about poop.
Now we did. Yeah. What's up? Shout out to Bucky's Bathrooms. How you doing?
Shout out to Bucky's Bathrooms. Yep. They don't even know they're sponsoring the channel.
Nope. Oh man.
Yep.
Talk about poop. You said the men of Judah are dropping bricks after they see Samson with the chop. So yeah, we did. All right.
Nope. Yeah. Still zero episodes without talking about poop.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're going to keep going all the way to the end.
Like, my side note is my 18-month-old daughter is saying poop all the time.
Yeah.
She's saying uncle. She's saying poop. She's saying up. She says eggy. She's learning words, but you better believe she got that word poop down.
Yeah.
With the hard P.
She would fit right in on this podcast, you know?
Oh, yeah. We should do a little sound bite for her saying poop.
Oh, please do. Yeah, that would be awesome. We're talking about Bucky's. She's just back there, poop, 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 poop.
Yep.
Oh, that's poop, perfect.
Poop, poop. Yeah. I sent a video to nobody earlier where she's saying, like, uncle and poop. Uncle, poop. And then nobody was like, oh, cool, I guess I'm Uncle Poop or something like that.
No, I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I'll be Uncle Poop. No. That was the cutest thing I've seen all, I don't even know how long. That was adorable.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were sitting there playing with some homemade Play-Doh. And then, okay, dude, check this out. All right, so we're sitting there playing with some homemade Play-Doh. My wife made her some Play-Doh.
That's cool.
And it's, like, non-toxic, all that. I think it's just, like, flour, cream of tartar, grapeseed oil, and, like, food coloring dye. It was blue Play-Doh. Okay. We're sitting there. She's sitting at her little art table and whatnot. It's, like, baby-sized. And then she gets up off the art table, comes over to me, like, squats down right in front of me, and just starts farting. And so I'm like, all right, well, we're going to practice the word poop, I guess. Like, yeah. Just squats down right in front of me, staring at me, eye to eye, just starts farting. Which usually she walks over to the dog, squats down in front of the dog, and then starts, you know, pooping and whatnot. Bro,
that is so funny. You know, it just, like, I can't wait. I'm going to let so much time pass. And I'm going to remember this, right? I'm going to let 6, 7, 8, maybe 12 months pass. Me and you are going to be out treasure hunting or something out in the woods. And I'm just going to turn around, squat down, stare you in the eyes, and just let her rip.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Like, I can see, like, she walks over to me, squats down, and then I just see her face turning red and then just starts ripping them.
Yep.
Oh, man. She's a cutie, though.
That's great, dude.
She is a cutie.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Like, here, I know you'll appreciate this type thing.
Hey, so can she have the little automatic knife?
I'm fine with it. My wife is the one saying no, she can't have a knife yet. She needs a knife. She needs to learn how to properly use a knife and all that stuff. I'm totally down for it. My wife is the one that's saying she needs to be older than a year and a half.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's ridiculous, though.
All right.
She knows what's up. She knows what's what. She's responsible. Yeah.
Dude, that's so funny. That's cool, man. About the homemade Play-Doh. Well, you got any...
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, I remember I got home today and, I walk in and there's like, I thought, it looks the same. Like, I thought she went and bought some Play-Doh, but no, she, like, made it. And it's just, it does smell a little funky, though.
Oh, really?
It smells a little weird.
Like, yeah, I mean,
not any worse than, like, Play-Doh.
Yeah, okay.
No, not worse than that. It just, like, has kind of, like, a little, maybe a little sour smell to it, which, I don't know. Could have been from, like, little grimy baby hands. She has so much dirt underneath her nails.
Good.
Just from playing out in the dirt. She loves playing in the dirt.
Good. Yeah.
That's a healthy
baby.
You
got anything more on Samson?
No, just, yes, you know, there's a lot to take away from this. Like, even in our own hangups and weaknesses, like, Yah will still use us. And, like, for me personally, like, I know I have hangups. I know, like, I try my best to walk in the commandments, but I'm a sinner. You know, we're all sinners. Like, there's no man or woman without it. That being said, like, I'm at a place now where I don't want to just be used to accomplish it. I want to be used to accomplish his will, but also, like, I want to make him happy with my actions. You know, I don't want to put him to the test. So...
Right.
I don't know. Food for thought. Like, no matter what, his word will come to pass. But I guess it's up to us how painful it needs to be. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's much better to work in line with Yah's will as opposed to Yah's will being despite you.
Right.
Like, despite your hangups and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
And that's where I would like to be, like, working within accordance of Yah's will, as opposed to, like, yeah, he's still going to do what he needs to do despite me type thing.
Right. Right. Yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah.
Well.
Well. That was the same time. Well, y'all, if you want to give your testimony or give your testimony to the podcast or share your testimony on the podcast, remember it's completely anonymous. You don't know who we are and we won't know who you are. Well, I mean, you can tell us if you want to, but the podcast audience won't know. Shoot us an email, exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. Or if you would like to, anywhere between fist fight to, you know,
whoa,
nice casual conversation with nobody, I'll be the ref/moderator. Depends on, you know, the scenario and everything. Wouldn't that be crazy to have like a scripture debate during an MMA match?
That actually kind of like, yeah, that's tempting for sure.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, but but look, hey, if you're gonna come on, look, let's not even consider it a debate. I'm not experienced in debating at all. You know, let's just have a fun conversation at the end of the day, like, so yeah, we can walk away and show the good fruits, and no one leaves ashamed. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I'm seriously just joking when it comes to the argument or the debate or the fist fight or anything like that. Like, that's really just a joke. It's just like, if you have a difference of opinion and you want to discuss it on the podcast, then shoot us an email. We'd love to have you on.
Yeah. See, that was so nice. But for real though, I do fully expect people to just like get pissed off, but that's fine. No big deal.
Yeah. There is that. Yeah, I mean, try not to, but we understand if you do, you know.
Yeah, it's truth all good.
Hurts. Yeah. It's jarring. It can be jarring. But thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, we'll see ya.